Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Traditionally, financial planning advice is either only for those who are already wealthy or salespeople calling themselves financial advisors who say they'll give you free financial advice but really just sell products to earn commissions. Fearless Finance takes a dramatic departure from either of those traditional models. Their entire business is built on making financial advice accessible and affordable because we know that financial literacy, stress reduction, and financial security are critical to overall well-being. I'm a little bit obsessed with Elizabeth, our Fearless Finance advisor. I've had an array of advisors in the past who answered questions like, should we be spending less on this, with evasive answers like, it depends on your priorities. Not Elizabeth. She answers with actually helpful guidelines. You're spending more than the average family of five, or I'd like to see this increase by 6%. Thank you. This is Fearless Finance's mission, to make advice affordable and accessible. You meet with your planner virtually and they charge you by the hour. You only pay for the time you use down to a quarter hour. Their planners meet with you where you are on your financial journey, no judgment. Visit fearlessfinance.com today. You can chat with a planner for free to make sure it's a good fit, and you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use the code PANTSUIT. That's fearlessfinance.com and use code PANTSUIT for $50 off your first planning meeting.
With 6 days until the election, the Senate is anyone's guess.
We'll share our predictions and reflect on some of the more memorable moments in the campaign.
This is Sarah from the left.
And Beth from the right.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics.
No shouting, no insults, plenty of nuance.
So it's our birthday week. Yay! So we're asking for all the presents. I like presents. I also like birthdays, and I have no problem asking for birthday presents. So, if you can, please leave us an iTunes reviews. It helps more people find Pantsuit Politics. You can follow us on Instagram at Pantsuit Politics, Facebook, at Twitter at Pantsuit Politics. No S, because Twitter's stupid and limits your users or your handles. Or you can visit our show at PantsuitPoliticsShow.com, where you can get a t-shirt or become a subscriber of the show, which is great. It helps us cover the monthly cost to run Pantsuit Politics. And we got a new subscriber this week, which was super awesome. So thank you so much to Audrey for becoming a new supporter of the show.
Thanks, Audrey. So we are on every single day between now and election day, and we're going to start each of these shorter episodes with sort of a how are we feeling. And today's how are we feeling question is, Sarah, how are you feeling about the Senate?
Well, before we get to that, I wanted to follow up on yesterday and first explain that I was still wearing my Halloween costume when we spoke last night, and it was Rey from Star Wars. And I think that might have been while I was pretty feisty in yesterday's episode. So I don't have a Halloween costume on tonight. Oh, and Beth and I had a conversation, and I thought we should share it, which is, you guys know that we're trying to be transparent about our political views, but I realized last night that we were sort of arguing from different professional points of views. Beth, tell the people what you do for a living.
Well, it's hard to describe what I do for a living, but there is,
because she does all the things. She won't tell you that, but I will.
Thanks. A lot of what I do has characteristics of human resources, right? Like trying to put people in the right positions and support them in those positions.
So Beth had a very hiring mindset, I think, yesterday in our discussion. And I do digital marketing, which is about as far from hiring as you can get. And I think that's why we were talking past each other.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting perspective. I was thinking while you were talking that we should have taken pictures because I was a skeleton as we were recording last night as well. So that would have been a fun post had we had the presence of mind for it. But yeah, I mean, certainly, and I think this comes across in our show a lot, like we both have law degrees, but we've used them in really different ways. Mm-hmm. We've had very different sort of professional experiences and aspirations. And I think it absolutely impacts both our kind of analysis and frame of reference for analysis and also like our politics in general. So, you know, it's an interesting point.
Yeah. I've realized that we really were, because that's what I'm talking about a lot. I'm talking about like, come on, it's a story. We're telling a story here. And you're like, yeah, but it's a real hiring process. I just feel like that's definitely undercutting a lot of our conversations. But hey, that's important whenever you talk politics is truthfully, whenever you're talking politics, you ain't just talking politics, yo.
No, you're not. And it's also just, I think, a point where, you know, everyone is pretty tired and pretty frustrated. And it's a challenge to have conversations where you disagree as strongly as the two of us do about the topics we discussed yesterday to figure out, like, how do we make this interesting? I was so relieved today when we got this email from our listener, Lou in Pennsylvania, who always sends us really interesting email, saying that he didn't feel like it devolved into, like, your average left-right panel. That's what I never want
to be. I believe the word
he
used was juicy.
He did say it was juicy. So if it can be juicy without devolving, I think that's the goal.
Well, also, I think that with regards to sort of the emotional toll that this is taking, we should introduce a new segment into our daily shows for the next 6 days called What Made Sarah Cry Today? Because I'm pretty much crying on a daily basis. It's sort of like when I'm 9 months pregnant. That's how I feel right now. I feel like I'm 9 months pregnant. I think that is an appropriate equivalent emotional state. What do you think about that?
Would that be true if you weren't running for office? Because that's a totally fair emotional state. I mean, you are 9 months pregnant with your campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. And sometimes I don't know if I'm stressed about my campaign and I'm offloading it on the national election, or if I'm stressed about the national election and I'm trying to redirect it into my campaign. I don't know, but I do find myself crying a lot. And today I cried from something Bryn shared. It was like a tweet. For our new listeners, Bryn is an original listener of Pantsy Politics. We call him our North Star. He is our guiding light. And he is in North Carolina, and he used to be a big Bernie supporter, and now he's a big Hillary supporter. And he shared this tweet that's like, I wish this was the email Hillary was paying attention to. I forgot the Twitter person who shared it. And I started reading it in the van, and it's like three sentences. She says, emailing Melanie Verveer, who's a longtime advisor of hers. Do you recall Nori Ali, the 10-year-old Yemeni girl who got herself divorced? I met her at the Glamour Awards last year. There was a CNN story last few days about how unhappy she is, still living at home, not attending school, and quite angry that her life is not better. Is there anywhere we can help her? Could we get her to the U.S. for counseling and education? I was just like scrolling through Facebook, read this on my phone, and burst into tears. I mean, that is my current emotional state. It's bad, y'all.
Well, so I guess that answers the how are you feeling question. I would love to ask how you're feeling about the Senate. Do you think that so here's the situation. If Democrats take four seats over that they don't currently have, then Tim Kaine would be the tying vote in the Senate. And so there are lots of predictions in both directions and some very tight races. And do you want to talk about specific races, Sarah, or do you have an overall observation about the Senate?
I mean, I think that, I mean, there's so many polls tightening. Nate Silver's trying to get me to freak out, and I will not be your pawn, Nate Silver's. I think he's hedging his bets too much for my taste these days. But I think that there is good chance that the Democrats take the Senate. I guess if it's tightening, it will tie. I think that, you know, there's a couple interesting races. I'm not paying attention to everything all at once, that's for sure. I think that Kelly Ayotte is going to lose because I think that New Hampshire has the voters of New Hampshire have a distaste for, what's the word I want? Sort of just the politics she's played with her endorsement, non-endorsement, how she's walked it up and then walked it back. And I just think that in the day, that's going to leave a distaste in people's mouth. I'm totally fascinated with the race in Missouri with Jason Kander. I sent you this famous ad of his a few days ago. What did you think about it? Tell the people about it.
This is the ad where Jason Kander is, I think, blindfolded assembling mm-hmm. a weapon and basically saying that Roy Blunt has mischaracterized his position on the Second Amendment, and he absolutely has an appreciation for gun rights, but also believes in reasonable regulation. So it's a really well done ad. I think it's probably the second or third, like, most captivating ad I've seen this cycle. The first,
except for that guy in Texas.
Yes, obviously being the guy in Texas and his wife, who I think are fabulous. Even though I know nothing about them, I think that is a genius ad.
Oh, so genius.
So that's the race in Missouri. The ad itself garnered a lot of attention. And, I mean, it's pretty spectacular to be able to get anything to break through in this cycle. So the fact that we know about that ad is a big deal. I don't know what's going to happen with that race. I mean, you would think Missouri that Roy Blunt could hold on, but I don't know.
I think that ad broke through enough that people started to pay attention to him, and that he has this really great sort of line of attack against Roy Blunt that is like his whole family. I saw the ad. Where was I that I was actually watching television and saw an ad come across? But he has this great ad about Roy Blunt's entire family are lobbyists and they're all entered the family business. And he is like, it's a very strong line of attack. So, I mean, I'm really hoping he pulls out a win there because what's Roy Blunt ever done for anybody?
It's interesting, though. Like, that's a good example of how something can break through nationally and still not work in a state race. Like, I think about this with our Senate race. I think Rand Paul is in a really good position to keep his seat, and I certainly hope so. I'm a huge Rand Paul supporter.
Lord, yes. He's like 10 points up. I heard it on the radio today.
On a national scale, though, there is a lot that's really attractive about Jim Gray, his opponent, as a candidate. Mm-hmm. And if he had had an ad like this that broke through, I don't know to what extent that would have moved the voting in Kentucky, but it sure would have influenced sort of the tone of the race, right? And
yeah.
And I think that's true with Kelly Ayotte and Maggie Hassan. Like, I can't pretend to know what's going on in New Hampshire. I just know what we've said nationally about that race because these are two really interesting people from a really interesting state politically.
Yeah. I think that Marco Rubio will probably win. I think John McCain, I don't know. Arizona's interesting. I mean, it's so in play for Hillary and they're spending so much time and energy there. It's hard to believe it won't push the needle a little bit in Ann Kirkpatrick's favor, but I haven't seen polling recently, so I don't know how close it is.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, "I cannot believe how young you look," and I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
You know how you learn to really appreciate how good your products are? Leave town and get stuck with whatever shampoo is in the hotel. I take Pros and their custom hair products for granted, y'all. Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. From millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely yours or mine. I never found beauty products that really understood my needs. But ever since I switched to custom hair and skin routine with Pros, I've noticed so many benefits. My thin hair is moisturized but not weighed down, and my waves have never looked better. And PROS isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/pantsuit. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/pantsuit. That's PROSE.com/pantsuit.
In previous episodes, I have outed myself as a bed-making fanatic. I am very serious about my bed being an oasis, a gift to Chad and me as we crawl into it at the end of a long day. So I want to return to how much I love my Boll & Branch sheets. With Boll & Branch sheets, you can discover a new level of softness. The sheets are made from 100% organic cotton in a buttery, breathable weave that truly gets softer every time you wash them. And you know that I like to do that once a week, so my Boll & Branch are rapidly aging like a fine wine. The sheets look great. I have them in a beautiful slate color. They stay put, so making my bed is quick and easy. They are a bestseller for a reason. The signature sheets feel incredible on night one. They are loved by millions of sleepers, and they come with a 30-night worry-free guarantee. Sleep better at night with the softest sheets from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code PANTSUIT at bollandbranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code PANTSUIT. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I think Pat Toomey and Katie McGinty is the race that I'm most watching with bated breath in a lot of ways, because Pat Toomey has so encapsulated the Trump down ballot problem and has been really kind of transparent about the fact that he doesn't know what to do. Like, he thinks this is a horrible situation. He doesn't know what to do. And I don't know. This gets to a question that our listener Kim asked on Twitter about Paul Ryan. Like, how do people feel when you hear things like, well, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump, but I don't endorse him, and this line that people have tried to walk? And that's a question that I've really been wrestling with, because on the one hand, I don't want to flush all of the good that people have done and can do because they have struggled with Donald Trump. On the other hand, I am hugely disappointed in all Republican leaders who have not distanced themselves, and not just distanced themselves, but like actually stood up to Donald Trump and this movement. And so I look at people like Kelly Ayotte and Paul Ryan, who I've always thought very highly of, and I don't know how I feel about that, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I think if I were sitting in New Hampshire, I would still vote for Kelly Ayotte, because I think about her bipartisan work on drug reform, for example. You know, mental health treatment. There are lots of things that Kelly Ayotte has done that I think are important, and I think she's a shining star in some ways in the Republican Party. I am hugely disappointed that she didn't just come out and say, no, I am not voting for or endorsing Donald Trump. So it's a struggle for me.
I mean, I think that it just represents the struggle within the Republican Party right now, and the likely civil war that should erupt after the election. I think that she and other moderate Republicans are in an impossible position, because the Republican Party is split in two. You know, they need the base. The base likes Donald Trump. Sort of the whatever name you want to put on the, you know, part of the Republican Party that does not like Donald Trump is, I mean, in a tough position. I do not see a path forward for, you know, the Republican Party as it currently stands. Like, I just think they're not alliance. What's the word I want?
Coalition.
The group, thank you. The coalition just can't withstand the pressure. So I think that what happens in races like Kelly Ayotte's and I forgot the other one you mentioned, like, that'll be really interesting, because it's going to, you know, if she can squeak it out, then maybe the Republican Party can shine it on for a little bit longer. But if she can't, and these people lose because people are so pissed that they didn't vote for Donald Trump, and then Donald Trump loses, well, then what happens next?
Yeah, and it's an even more interesting question when you think about, there are a number of prominent Republican senators up for re-election that are looking good. In addition to Rand Paul, Rob Portman looks great in Ohio right now. Lisa Murkowski, Tim Scott. You know, there are people who are doing well in spite of the Trump effect. And so I don't know whether that says that they've just thread the needle successfully. They don't have a strong enough opponent. But it is, I do think that there has to be a reckoning. I've said before on our podcast that I think the Republican Party, as we have known it for the past 10, 12 years, is all but dead. And that something new has to emerge. Now, how you create that when you don't have enough of a coalition today to compete in the Electoral College, that's going to be a challenge.
Well, I think another thing that's sort of interesting about the current batch of Senate candidates is how many sort of old names are rising from the dead. Russ Feingold?
I know.
Evan Bayh?
I know.
Even Marco Rubio.
Evan Bayh, you know, who hasn't lived in Indiana for decades, right? I don't know. Decades might be an overstatement, but a long time that Evan Bayh has not really lived in Indiana.
You know, I think it reflects something I've been reading a lot about, which is the future of the Democratic Party. You know, both parties have their problems. I don't think the Democratic Party is in any danger of some sort of civil war breakdown, but we don't have a good, you know, Barack Obama, for all his many, many wonderful qualities, was not a party builder. And I don't think had enough of the long-term outlook of the Democratic Party in mind. And so we just, you know, I think that's why we're running Russ Feingold and Evan Bayh. And we need people. We need new people. We need new people. We don't have a deep bench. And it doesn't feel like that sometimes because so many names get a lot of play. But, you know, the fact that we're running Russ Feingold and Evan Bayh is evident that there's something else going on. I really hope Deborah Ross wins in North Carolina, if just for Bryn's sake.
I think that's true. And I mean, I don't even want to say Republican side because I do think there's going to be a dramatic shakeup. But when I think about conservative ideas and the kind of candidates that I could get excited about and support, I think that if you follow us on Twitter, you know, I feel strongly about the fact that the people who got us into this mess cannot get us out of it. I think that you have to have new leadership top to bottom, and that new leadership has to recruit the next generation of new leadership. I do not think that like Reince Priebus is going to get some good thinkers together and solve this.
Well, I'll tell you something else I'm excited about, which is Kamala Harris in California. That's a Senate race I'm excited about because I think this is right. She'll be our first. I mean, she's definitely going to win, and I think she'll be our first Black female senator, second only ever after Carol Moseley Braun.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's nice anytime that you see more diversity in the Senate. We got such a great email from Michelle in response to our Supreme Court episode where she talked about not only the lack of academic diversity among the justices. You know, Sarah, you brought up that they're all Ivy League educated, but Michelle was pointing out that so are their clerks. Mm-hmm. And she knows this because she's married to someone who clerked for a Supreme Court justice. And she talked about how they both have an Ivy League education. And she is flabbergasted by the privileges attached to that Ivy League education.
Yep.
And the tiny, tiny community it gives her access to. And
yep.
And I think that is such an important point and such an important component of people's distaste with politics and distrust for the process. And don't get me wrong, it's not that there's anything wrong with a great education. It's just that we don't have diversity of thought right now in any of our major institutions because of that academic snobbery. And I think it's a big problem.
I'm also excited because I think Tammy Duckworth is going to win.
Oh, Tammy Duckworth is definitely going to win.
Especially if he spewed that racist crap at the last debate. So I'm super excited about that, too. I don't know I haven't totaled the polling and done the math, but it seems like we're going to have a lot more women. Now, we're losing Barbara Mikulski, but I don't know. It seems like we should be gaining overall women.
I want to say how very sad I am about that comment from Mark Kirk, because I have, for the most part, found Mark Kirk to be a really reasonable and principled person. I think that might be an example of how this race is bringing out the worst in everyone. But that really, really made me sad. And I know that it was a really devastating blow for our listener, Aaron, in Illinois as well. So I'm sorry, Aaron, I'm with you on that, that I was surprised and sad. But, you know, I think Tammy Duckworth is a really good candidate, and she's in a really good spot, and I would be shocked if she lost that race.
Yeah, that's about all my thoughts on the Senate.
Well, I think the other thing to talk about with the Senate is the Supreme Court and the fact that Ted Cruz is walking around because he learns nothing.
And John McCain. Don't be throwing just Ted Cruz under the bus, man.
Well, I'll be honest. I do like to throw Ted Cruz under the bus. But, you know, walking around basically saying that they might just leave the court at 8 because it's obvious from the get-go that anyone Hillary Clinton wants to seat on the Supreme Court would be unacceptable. Now, that is nonsense and such a complete abdication of the responsibility of senators that it makes me insane. I don't know if I have a lot of nuance on this point, really. I just think that's wrong.
I think that both him and John McCain are just... I think John McCain in particular is trying to get a little love from the base. I don't think he means it. Ted Cruz might mean it. He sure is willing to shut down the government. And he has a lot of making up to do if he's planning on running for president again, which he most certainly is with this, you know, the Trump base. That's why he endorsed him. That's why he's made calls for him. And that's what he's trying to do here. He's trying to say, oh, don't worry. I'm here to do your crazy Tea Party bidding still.
See, this just fires me up. And you said to me this morning that I just don't like campaigns. And I think there's an element of that that's true. I do hate the game. You say all the time, don't hate the player, hate the game. I do hate the game. And I don't understand how anyone thinks it's going to change if people continue to conduct themselves this way. And if you're John McCain, especially, you've been telling people stuff they don't want to hear your whole career. Like, you built a campaign for yourself around your straight talk, and you're going to stand in front of folks and say that really it makes sense for the Senate to never do its job in holding confirmation hearings. I think that's ridiculous. I don't understand why you would say anything other than, I look forward to working with whomever wins this election because our president is our president, and I will work to make sure that we have justices who uphold the Constitution. The end.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they made solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful, Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You guys, I love my Aura frames. I have one in my office. I have one in my kitchen. I have given one as a housewarming gift. I have given one as Mother's Day, Father's Day. They are the most amazing gifts because this app is a game changer, in my personal opinion, in digital frames. It makes it so, so easy to get the pictures on there and even videos. It plays like you're in Harry Potter, you guys. It is the best. I love mine so much. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
The end.
Yeah. I mean, I just think because he is responding to what we were talking about earlier, which is this split coming already here within the Republican Party. And any Republican that ignores it and ignores appealing to that base does so at their own peril. And John McCain is not stupid. And there is governing and there is politics. And sometimes they are very, very different. And, you know, that's sort of why I'm just like, whatever, duck off of water's back. As long as you're not being racist and sexist, like, I'm not, you know, morally offended. There's this really great podcast I listened to from On Being by Krista Tibbetts, and it was David Brooks and EJ Dionne. And they were just talking about, like, we put too much pressure for our values and our identity on politics, and we sort of know we're not putting enough in this sort of religion spirituality basket, so we just keep doubling down on politics. And when you make it about politics, and when you make politics about sort of your values and your identities, like, politicians will play to that because they want votes, and it's sort of just too tempting not to sort of play those cards. And it was just like a really sort of interesting, nuanced perspective of, like, not like politicians are bad people, but, like, they want votes. And if they can get your votes by saying these sort of emotionally ridiculous things, then they're totally going to do it. And you really can't blame them because they're trying to get the votes. And that's totally what John McCain and Ted Cruz are doing.
Yeah,
so for Ted Cruz, doesn't even need votes right now, which makes him the worst.
We're going to continue then to get what we deserve in Washington if we allow that as voters. America, please get in hiring mode with me. Please come in hiring mode with me.
Good luck with that.
Okay, so the other thing, so this will switch back to marketing now. We wanted to spend a second because we got an email from a listener about sort of the commoditization of the nasty woman comment that Trump made. And I thought it reminded me of the commoditization of the deplorables comment as well. And how we're kind of in this state now where somebody says something really offensive, let's just put it on a t-shirt and make it fun. And,
and I'm usually sort of all down for the chicky kind of, like, I have a woman card. I ain't even embarrassed. I love my woman card. But, you know, the nasty woman stuff, it wasn't the stuff, because I don't think Hillary has anything in her campaign shop with nasty women. Maybe she doesn't, but I haven't seen it. It was just hilarious to me how instantaneously my feed was filled with, like, obviously photoshopped nasty women stuff. Like, these are not real models with these t-shirts on, because nobody can print a t-shirt that damn fast. Like, it was just, that was the part to me that was really funny. Everybody was like, ooh, something to sell. Bam, out there. And listen, I mean, I respect a hustle. It's cool, but it was just so obvious and over the top this time.
I think that's true. And I felt the same way about the deplorables remark. And this, to me, connects with what we were just talking about. Like, are we choosing real leadership, or are we creating more of a reality show, just more entertainment and more drama by the way that we react to these things? And the truth is, I know that it's designed to do the opposite. But for me, when you take something like a nasty woman and you wear it as a badge of pride, I feel like you're sort of diluting, like, the actually awful effect of some of him saying that. That was a horrible thing to say, and it doesn't become cute to me because we've reclaimed it.
That's the only thing that I think is a little different, is there is such a long sort of history within the feminist movement of trying to reclaim words, and other civil rights movements too. So, you know, that's the only thing that I'm kind of like, it's a little different than the deplorables, is because there is a thing that, like, well, you can't, you know, women everywhere have had stuff like that said to them. And so it's just a sort of like, oh yeah, well, you've pissed us off now. But I just understand it's a very similar feeling coming from the adorable deplorables, as the case would be.
Any kind of otherizing of people is painful. And I think we have to somehow come to grips with that on a broader scale. I was having a conversation today about this. A person said, like, oh, gosh, like, I just am kind of, I want to kind of skip the women conversation on something. And I understand that sentiment because our whole society is talking about women's issues right now, which I think is the gift and the curse of this election. One of the gifts and curses of this election. But my reaction was like, friend, I'd like to skip that conversation too. I'd like it to not be necessary. And I'd like us to be at a place where we don't seize on to something like nasty woman, not because we're all like crazy feminists, but because it's just over. Like, that's not said, and there isn't this perception of otherness still. And I don't know, just the instantaneous, I'm not being very articulate about this, probably in part because I'm still processing my own reaction to it. But there's something about this that cuts pretty deep for me, and I think lots of people, and I am certain that that's only a fraction, because I do carry a lot of privilege. That's only a fraction of what other people are experiencing in this cycle. And I just sort of wish that we could leave the merchandise out of it. I guess that's my summary.
I think that's fair.
Okay, so predictions. You think that the Democrats will take the Senate. I probably agree with you. I think it's going to be pretty close. I do think Americans are fairly good at making a decision to have divided government, and that it's very possible that we'll see that this time. I wouldn't want to make a guess as to, you know, plus two, plus three, plus four seats, because I think that these are some real toss-up races. Okay, well, we'll be back again tomorrow to chat some more about what's going on in presidential politics and other national politics. And we enjoyed hearing from you today. Get in touch with us again tomorrow. And until then, we'll keep it nuanced, y'all.